भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो 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 भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण। We completed the first 9 chapters of Bhagavad Gita. We will begin the 10th chapter. In the 9th chapter, last sloka, Krishna said, Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Krishna concluded the 9th chapter of Gita with an instruction to fix our minds upon Him. Manmana, keep your mind on me. Bhava madbhakto, become my devotee. Madhyaji, worship me. Mam namaskuru, offer obeisances unto me. That way you will come to me. No doubt about it. So like that Krishna said. And when Krishna instructed all of us to fix our minds on Him in the 9th chapter, in the 10th chapter Krishna will teach us how we can fix our minds on Him. Okay. So He will describe various opulences of Himself, knowing which we can easily focus our mind on Krishna. Okay, that's the subject matter of this beautiful chapter. In this chapter, the first 7 verses describes how Krishna is the mysterious source or origin of everything. And next 4 verses, 8, 9, 10, 11, they are very crucial and very important shlokas of Bhagavad Gita. So they describe how Krishna is the origin or source of all material and spiritual worlds, and specifically how Krishna gives intelligence to His devotees to come back to Him. So our inspiration for execution of bhakti is actually coming from Krishna. So how Krishna enlightens His devotees, that He will describe in the second section. And in the third section, 12th to 18th verses, Arjuna shares his heartfelt realizations. He heard a lot about Krishna in the last 9 chapters and in this chapter also, 10th chapter also. Then Arjuna shares his realizations. Arjuna establishes Krishna's supreme position as the supreme personality of Godhead in these verses. And in the second half of this chapter, from 19th sloka till the end of the chapter, Krishna describes various vibhutis, various opulences, how He is present in everything, and how He is the active principle of everything that is beautiful and wonderful and great in the entire universe. Okay. Now we'll begin the first sloka. Actually, in the 7th chapter and 9th chapter, Krishna explained how His different energies are working. You remember, Rasoham Apsu Kaunteya Prabhasmi Sa Shishuryayu, 7th canto, 7th chapter, 8th sloka and all that. And even 9th chapter also Krishna described how He is Gatir Bharta, Prabhu Sakshi, Nivasam Charanam Suhrit. Then He also, Pitaham Asya Jagato, Mata Dhata Pitamaha, all these things. So He is everything that is described in 7th and 9th chapter. In the 10th chapter, Krishna will specifically explain His very particular manifestations and opulences, knowing which we'll understand that He is the worthiest personality to worship. Now we'll begin the first sloka. From first sloka till 7th sloka, we see how Krishna is the mysterious origin and the source of everything. Okay. First sloka.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Bhuya Eva Mahabaho.
Bhuya Eva Mahabaho.
Shrunu Me Paramam Vacham.
Shrunu Me Paramam Vacham.
Yatteham Priyamanayam.
Yatteham Priyamanayam.
Vakshyami Hita Kamyayam.
Vakshyami Hita Kamyayam.
Bhuya Eva Mahabaho. O Mahabaho, O mighty armed Arjuna. Shrudume paramam vachaha. Please hear my supreme instructions. Paramam vachaha means very glorious words. Okay. And bhuya eva, again I am going to repeat some very divine instructions. Yatteham priyamanaya. And I am going to specifically tell you this because you are very dear to me. Priyamanaya. Vakshyami hitakamyaya. What is my intention in telling you? Because I am your sincere well-wisher. Hita means well-being. Kamyaya means desiring well-being. I am your sincere well-wisher. That's why I am going to reveal you very confidential knowledge now. Krishna says. He is just giving an introduction to what he is going to speak. Prabhupada writes in the purport, the more one hears about the Supreme God, the more one becomes fixed in devotional service. So hearing about Krishna constitutes a very vital and important and crucial element of deepening our practice of bhakti. That's why Sravanam is the first process in bhakti. The more we hear about Krishna, the more we derive inspiration to serve Krishna. So we may hear once, we may dedicate our life, but while rendering service to Krishna with dedication, sometimes we may get distracted. So regularly hearing about Krishna, about Krishna's glories, about the glory of Bhakti Yoga, will keep us inspired continuously. To keep our inspiration levels constant, we should have regular doses of Shravanam here. Prabhupada writes here. One should always hear about the Lord in the association of devotees. That will enhance one's devotional service. Discourses in the society of devotees can take place only among those who are really anxious to be in Krishna consciousness. Others cannot take part in such discourses. The Lord clearly tells Arjuna that because Arjuna is very dear to him, for his benefit such discourses are taking place. Second shloka. Because Krishna is the supreme benefactor and well-wisher of every person. So he wants to instruct everybody through Arjuna. Okay, Vakshyami Hitakamyaya. Hitakamya. Krishna is our supreme well-wisher. Whatever he is speaking is for our welfare. Okay. Second shloka. Name Viduhu Suraganaha.
Name Viduhu Suraganaha.
Prabhavam Namaharshayaha.
Prabhavam Namaharshayaha.
Ahamadirhi Devanam.
Ahamadirhi Devanam.
Maharshinam Chasarvashaha.
Maharshinam Chasarvashaha.
Second shloka. Krishna says, Name Viduhu Suraganaha. Suraganaha means great demigods. Oh Arjuna, great demigods also cannot understand me. Na me viduhu. They cannot understand me. Okay, Suraganaha. Prabhavam na maharshayaha. Prabhavam, my influence, my glory cannot be understood even by maharshis, even by great sages. Okay. Third line. He says, Aham adirhi devanam. I am the Adi, I am the origin, I am the source of all the devas, demigods. Maharshinam cha sarvashaha. I am also the origin of all maharshis. So, all these demigods and sages are coming from me. How can they understand me, who is their own source? So, it is not very easy to understand Krishna. And one can never claim to be having complete knowledge about God. One may have some understanding about God by studying scriptures, by hearing the explanation of the scriptures from bona fide devotees. One may develop nice understanding about God. But no one can claim that I know completely about Krishna, completely about God. So, when Krishna is saying here that demigods don't know me, maharshis don't know me, sages don't know me, that does not mean that they don't know anything about Krishna. That only means that nobody can know completely about Krishna. Fine. So, demigods are very powerful. And sages are very knowledgeable. Here Krishna is indicating that you cannot understand me by your power and knowledge. You may be very influential, you may be very powerful, and you may be very intellectual, very intelligent, knowledgeable person, wise person. You can think big, you can speculate, you can analyze, but all your speculative power, analytical power, knowledge, experience, and influence over things, controllership mentality, that is not the sufficient or necessary prerequisite to understand Krishna. Okay. One cannot understand Krishna by scholarship or speculation. One can understand Krishna in reality only by Krishna's mercy. And when will Krishna show mercy? When we perform bhakti unto Krishna. Fine. So, by hearing from bona fide books like Gita and Bhagavatam, we can easily understand Krishna to a considerable extent. Even if you are taking shelter of association of devotees, even if you take shelter of bhakti yoga, and even if you take shelter of the bona fide scriptures like Gita, Bhagavatam, etc., you can never claim to have a full understanding of Krishna, because Krishna himself doesn't know himself completely. So one can understand Krishna to a certain degree, to a considerable extent, as much as it is important for us to know. Okay? When Krishna reveals himself to us, Prabhupada writes in the purport, we can actually understand Krishna. Who is he? Who is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge, simply by studying his words in Gita and Bhagavatam. The conception of God as some ruling power or as the impersonal Brahman can be reached by persons who are in the inferior energy of the Lord, but personality of Godhead cannot be conceived unless one is transcendental, in transcendental position. So, as we discussed before, there are three aspects of the Absolute Truth: Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. So, you may develop some understanding of Brahman and Paramatma, but Bhagavan, who is the source of Paramatma and Brahman, Brahman is the bodily effulgence of Krishna. Paramatma is a partial representation of Krishna in the hearts of all living beings and in all atoms also. Then Bhagavan is the source of Paramatma and Brahman. So, one may understand this effulgence of the Lord to a certain degree. One may understand Paramatma to a certain degree, but one can never understand personality of Godhead completely. Okay. So, because most men cannot understand Krishna in his actual situation, out of his causeless mercy, he descends into this world to show some favor to people. Okay. So, basically, it is difficult for even great sages and demigods to understand Krishna. But still, if Krishna reveals himself through the scriptures, through the association of devotees, devotees can understand Krishna to a certain degree, not completely. Fine. Third sloka. Yo mama jamanadim cha.
Yo mama jamanadim cha.
Vyakti loka maheshwaram.
Vyakti loka maheshwaram.
Asammoodha samartyeshu.
Asammoodha samartyeshu.
Sarva papaihi pramuchyate.
Sarva papaihi pramuchyate.
Yo mam asam. Yo mam ajam asammoodha. So Krishna says that. In the second sloka he said, no one knows me. I am the origin of everything. I am the origin of demigods and sages. No one can understand me. Now in third verse, Krishna says that one who knows me is freed from all sins. He said it's impossible to or difficult to understand me. But if you manage to understand him at least to some degree, then you will be freed from all sins. Yo mam ajam anadimcha. If you understand Krishna is aja. Aja means unborn. He has no material birth. He has no beginning. He has no end. He is aja, unborn. Anadimcha. Anadi means he has no origin. Right? He is beginningless. Ajam anadimcha. So, two aspects of Krishna. Aja, anadi. Unborn, beginningless. Then, Vetti Loka Maheshwaram. Third aspect is Krishna is a Loka Maheshwara. He is the supreme controller of all planets and all universes. Loka means planets or universes. Maheshwara means great controller, supreme controller. If you understand these three aspects of Krishna, Aja, Anadi, Maheshwara, then Asammoodha Samartyeshu. Such a person is called Asammoodha, means a person who is not bewildered at all. Samartyeshu, amongst all human beings, so a person who understands Krishna's qualities is not bewildered. Sarva papaihi pramuchyate. Such an undiluted person will be relieved from all papas, all sins. Sarva papaihi pramuchyate. Third sloka. That is the meaning of third sloka. Basically, in the third sloka, Krishna describes the effect of knowing him. Even considerably, even to some degree, if you know Krishna, you can be relieved of all sins. To know Krishna, you need to surrender unto Krishna. The end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami masuchah. Now Krishna here he is saying sarva papaihi pramuchyati. So surrendering to Krishna will result in knowing Krishna. Knowing Krishna will result in release of all sins. In the 7th chapter also, 3rd shloka, Krishna described the rarity of a pure devotee who knows him. Okay. Where is it? Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschit yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mam vaiti tattvatah. A person who knows Krishna in truth is very rare. And now here he says, yomam ajamanadim cha vaiti loka maheshwaram. Vaiti means knowing. You can just connect all the Gita verses. Means whenever, according to context. In 7.3 Krishna says, a person who understands Krishna is very rare. In 10.3 Krishna says that such a rare person is freed from all sins. Fine? So, a person who is freed from all sins is very rare. That's the point. The conditioned souls change bodies, but Krishna is unborn and his body is not changeable. He is Aja, Anadi. All the demigods were created within this world, but Krishna existed before creation of this world. Okay, before even the world is created, Krishna existed. So, how can you understand a person who is beyond your birth, who existed beyond before your birth, who continues to exist after your death? Your whole existence is so feeble and so insignificant that it is not even occupying a fraction of a moment of that person's breathing space, breathing time. Within one breathing gap, breathing time of Mahavishnu, there is 100 years of Brahma's lifetime. Okay? Within one day of Brahma, you have 1,000 yuga cycles. So within each yuga cycle, an ordinary conditioned soul will undergo several hundreds and thousands of births and deaths. Where is Mahavishnu? Where is Brahma? Where are you? And that Mahavishnu is an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of Krishna. Where is Krishna and where is you? Okay, where are you? So, we need to understand how insignificant we are in comparison to Krishna. And how can someone claim to have a proper understanding of Krishna? And more unfortunate and more foolish is a person who claims that I am Krishna, I am God. Here, knowing God itself is so difficult, and some foolish people say that I am God. Okay, worship me. Like Vena said, I am God. You offer all your homages and sacrifices in my name. All oblations should reach me. I am the personification of all demigods. Demigods cannot know Krishna. Very beautiful thing to just notice here. He is the creator of Brahma, Shiva and all other demigods. He is the supreme person of all planets. A man who is not foolish, who is intelligent enough to understand the constitutional position of the Godhead, is always free from all sinful reactions. One must be liberated from all sinful activities to be in knowledge of the Supreme Lord. Okay. So, the person who is... Now we only discussed how Krishna is so great and it's difficult for you to understand. After knowing Krishna is so great, you also know how fallen you are. How sinful am I? What kind of aspirations I have? Why? And my heart is filled with lust, envy, pride, greed, etc. In this condition, how can I claim a complete understanding of that Supreme Lord? So we should regularly discuss this philosophy to realize the greatness of Krishna and to realize our own insignificance. Otherwise, one may start feeling that I have become so close to Krishna just by chanting or doing some puja for just a couple of years. Okay, I have become close to Krishna. I am a pure devotee. So this will keep us grounded. Where is he? And where am I? Like that. So therefore, if we at all want our activities to be auspicious, then we should work under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Such directions are given in authority to scriptures such as Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita or from bona fide spiritual master. Because the spiritual master is representative of the Supreme Lord, His direction is directly the direction of the Supreme Lord. Fine? So, Krishna described in the first three shlokas that first shloka he says, I am going to reveal you very wonderful knowledge. Second shloka he says, no one knows me, I am the origin of everything. Third shloka he says, one who knows me is freed from all sins. Now in the fourth shloka says, I am not only the origin of demigods and maharshis, I am the origin of all qualities also. Whatever qualities that you may find in different living beings in this world, whether they are demigods or human beings or other people, Krishna is the origin of all qualities. Krishna says now.
Buddhir-jnana-masam-moha
Kshama-satyam-damah-shamah
Sukham-dukham-bhavo-bhavo
Bhayam-cha-bhayam-eva-cha
Bhayam-cha-bhayam-eva-cha
Buddhir-jnanam-asam-moha Buddhi means intelligence. Jnanam means knowledge. Asam-moha means not being illusion, freedom from illusion. Kshama means forgiveness. Satyam, truthfulness. Shama, dama and shama, sense control and mind control. Next, sukham, dukham, bhava, abhava. Sukham is happiness, dukham is distress, bhava is birth, abhava is death. Then bhayam, fear, abhayam evacha, that is fearlessness. All these are originating from Krishna. Krishna further says, Ahimsa samata tushtihi
Ahimsa samata tushti
Tapodanam yasho yashaha
Tapodanam yasho yashaha
Bhavanti bhava bhutanam
Bhavanti bhava bhutanam
Matta eva prathak vidaha
Matta eva prathak vidaha
Ahimsa means non-violence. Samata means equanimity. Tushti means satisfaction. Ahimsa samata tushti Tapodanam yasho yashaha. Tapa is austerity. Danam is charity. Yasha is fame. Ayasha is infamy. So all these are coming from Krishna only. Bhavanti bhava bhutanam matta eva patak vidaha. Krishna says they are all coming from me only. All these qualities you can see in living entities. You see knowledge in them. You see intelligence in them. You see forgiveness in them. They are sometimes illusion. They are freed from illusion. They are born sometimes. They are died sometimes. So like that, ahimsa, samata, tushti, all these good qualities and regular patterns that living beings may exhibit, all these are coming from Krishna. Krishna has created this whole mechanism, whole system. Okay? So understand that I am the origin of everything. They are created by me only, is the origin. And some of these Krishna creates through Brahma. In the third canto of Bhagavatam, you have seen, Brahmaji also creates so many things. So Krishna empowers Brahma to create all these things. The different qualities of living entities, be they good or bad, are created by Krishna as they are described here. Krishna has to create bad qualities also because the conditioned souls have certain tendencies. So those tendencies have to be fulfilled by through these qualities. So they need to exhibit all these qualities. So Krishna has created, facilitated for that also. Intelligence refers to the power to analyze things in their proper perspective. So Prabhupada writes in the purport certain small one-line definitions for each of these qualities. We may not discuss all of them. For example, intelligence, buddhi, refers to analyzing things in proper perspective. Then jnanam, knowledge, refers to understanding what is spirit and what is matter. You can go through these definitions. Okay. Next, Prabhupada writes just one paragraph on each of them. Ahimsa is non-violence. Means that one should not do anything which will put others into misery or confusion. Samatha means equanimity. That refers to freedom from attachment and aversion. So these are all various qualities. Sixth shloka. Maharshayah saptapurve
Maharshayah saptapurve
Chatvaro manavastatha
Chatvaro manavastatha
Madbhava manasajata
Madbhava manasajata
Yesham loka imah prajaha
Yesham loka imah prajaha
Maharshayah saptapurve Sapta maharshis. There are seven great sages. They are all coming from Krishna. Next. Chatvaro manavastatha. Chatvaro means the four brothers, the four Kumaras. They are also coming from Krishna. Manavastata, all the Manus, are the progenitors of mankind, like Swayambhu and others. 14 Manus are there in within one day of Brahma. Like that, each day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus. All of them are created by the Lord. Mad bhava manasa jataha. They came from me. And from where exactly? Manasa jataha. They are born of my mind. Yesham loka imah prajaha. From them, all the other prajas, all the population in the world is created. Okay, populating various planets descending from them. So, thus, Krishna is origin of everybody. Krishna is the origin of everybody. He creates the creators. So, he creates Brahma, he creates Manus, he creates Rishis, this and that. And then they will continue further create and populate the universe. So, it is Krishna who is the origin of everything. And if something else is seemingly an origin of something, the origin of that origin is Krishna. Krishna is the origin of all origins. He is the cause of all causes. Ishvaraha Paramaha Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Namo Namaste Akhila Karanaya Nishkaranaya Adbhuta Karanaya. Gajendra offers his prayer. Namo Namaste Akhila Karanaya Nishkaranaya Adbhuta Karanaya Sarvagamamnaya Maharanavaya Namo Pavargaya Parayanaya Namo Namaste Akhila Karanaya. I offer my obeisances unto that Supreme Lord who is the cause of all causes. Akhila Karanaya. Nishkaranaya, he himself does not have any cause. So he is Adbhuta Karanaya. He is wonderful cause of everything. Like that Gajendra glorifies Krishna. So the Lord is giving a genealogical synopsis of the universal population. Brahma is the original creature born out of the energy of the Supreme Lord. Brahmaji came out of the navel of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. Okay. And from Brahma, Manus came. And from Manus, Manuputras came. From Manuputra, so many other people came. So like that, Krishna is the origin of everything. Okay. He is Prapitamaha. He is the great, great grandfather, but he is always young. His grandfather does not mean he is very old, with white hair. He is the youngest person. He is Tarunam Ramaniyangam Arunoshthekshanadharam. Taruna means he is always youthful. 7th shloka. Etam vibhutim yogam cha.
Etam vibhutim yogam cha.
Mamayo vetti tattvatah.
Mamayo vetti tattvatah.
Sovikalpena yogena.
Sovikalpena yogena.
Yujyate natra samshayah.
Yujyate natra samshayah.
Etam vibhutim yogam cha. Vibhuti yoga means, vibhuti is opulence, yoga is mystic power. If one is factually convinced about Krishna's vibhutis and yoga, his opulence, his mystic power, by which he becomes the origin of everything, if you are convinced about it. Mama yo vetti tattvataha. If you truly understand Krishna's yoga and vibhutis, so avikalpena yogena, such a person, by dint of his avikalpa yoga, he avikalpa yoga refers to pure devotional service. There is no vikalpa, there is no diversion. There is no deviation in that yoga. Avikalpena yogena refers to pure, unalloyed, devotional service or bhakti unto Krishna. That is basically bhakti yoga. So, avikalpa yogena yujyate na atra samshayaha. He will engage in my pure devotional service. There is no doubt about it. So, all the vibhutis that Krishna is describing here, all the powers that Krishna is describing in this 10th chapter, they are basically to induce a feeling of bhakti yoga. Somebody may ask, this is all bhakti chapters. Why so many opulences of Krishna are described here? Right? Aditya and Maruts and all this. So, this is one answer where Krishna says that if you understand this vibhuti yoga, mama yo vetti tattvataha, if you understand the opulence of the absolute, then avikalpena yogena yujyate, you will be engaged in pure devotional service. Na atra samshayaha. So, knowing the opulences of the Lord will induce a feeling of devotion to the Lord. Prabhupada writes, the highest summit of spiritual perfection is knowledge of the Supreme Lord. Unless one is firmly convinced of different opulences of the Supreme Lord, he cannot engage in devotional service. Of course, we cannot completely understand all the opulences of the Lord. Even Krishna also, towards the end of this chapter, Krishna says that my opulence is limitless. I cannot describe all my opulences completely. I'll just give you a glimpse, some synopsis I will give. And he summarized in just few verses, from 21st verse to 39th verse. How many? 19 shlokas. And to read this 19 shlokas, it may take just few minutes. He just gave one list and then concluded the whole thing and said, this is just a spark of my splendor. How many I should expand? Enough. Yeah, you have to fight a war also now. I'll conclude here. Like that. Basically, that should increase our Krishna consciousness. Anything powerful, anything beautiful, anything great that you see in the entire cosmic manifestation reminds you of Krishna. Right? So, understanding of Krishna's opulences and all-pervasiveness of Krishna throughout this world will increase our Krishna consciousness. So, middle six chapters, you see, seventh chapter, Krishna spoke some of his opulences, how he is present everywhere. In the seventh chapter, he said, Rasoham apsukamanteya prabhasam sishi shuri and all that. In the ninth chapter, again, Krishna spoke, Vitri bharta prabhu sakshi and all that. In the tenth chapter, again, he is speaking. My opulences are everywhere in the second half of the chapter. So like that you feel the presence of Krishna everywhere. Not from a technical perspective, philosophical perspective and all that is there. But it's more on the emotion side. I love Krishna. I can see Krishna everywhere. I can feel the presence of Krishna everywhere. That's the realization of a devotee after reading through these chapters. Okay. So, generally, people know that God is great, but they do not know in detail how great is God. Here are the details. If one knows factually how great is God, how God is great, then naturally he becomes a surrendered soul and engages himself in devotional service of the Lord. Emotions do not come immediately for a conditioned soul. Emotions towards the Lord, love for the Lord. First, they should become impressed with God's greatness. Then they can develop a feeling of love and affection for Him. If you directly start, you should have love for me. Why I should love you? I am so great. Understand all this. That's why Aishwarya Jnana is also given. Although these are bhakti chapters. And bhakti is a lot to do with feelings. But bhakti also has a lot to do with knowledge. Knowledge of Krishna's opulence. Knowledge of Krishna's greatness, that will induce bhakti. Developing an aspect of developing knowledge towards Krishna's opulent aspect is needed, certainly, in the initial stages. But once that is there, once you have that developed certain knowledge, then you can have feelings, then you can focus on all that. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati. Now, Krishna is going to speak the next four verses. How a devotee connects to Him. But now Krishna is introducing that knowing my opulences will actually induce a feeling of love for me. Okay? So for people who are disconnected. Those are already pure devotees, who are already having love and affection for the Lord. That's why it's easy for them to connect. But other people should become familiar with how great God is. So when one actually knows the opulences of Supreme, there is no alternative but to surrender unto Him. This factual knowledge can be known from the descriptions in Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and similar literatures. Okay. There are some devotees who may not be very knowledgeable, but they have fine emotions for the Lord. Because they surpass at that stage of cultivating that knowledge and all. Now you see, South Indian Brahmana, he may not be knowledgeable. You see, South Indian Brahmana, he was reading Bhagavad Gita, he was not reading properly, but he was having tears in his eyes, he had emotions. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that whatever you understood in Bhagavad Gita constitutes the best understanding of Bhagavad Gita. It is the essence of Bhagavad Gita. So that stage cannot be immediately acquired by an average rational so-called human being. Okay. So one has to undergo all this, study and develop knowledge of Lord Krishna's greatness and all that. And it's not just one lifetime affair. Our whole frame of mind is within one lifetime. Aisa ke, all these stages are there. Now he has come to this stage. But the progress in devotional service happens over lifetimes. We don't know, you are sitting with, you know, 10 other people here, and the person who is next to you has already made spiritual progress in the last few lifetimes, and he has come to certain stage now. Although he joined along with you, he came to the whole process of Bhakti Yoga along with you, still he must have undergone a lot of purification in the previous lifetimes only. So, although all of you may be similar age group or same, they have entered Bhakti at certain point of time in the history, still we cannot say that everybody is at the same level of spiritual advancement. It's lifetime's practice, okay, like that. So, one should not neglect to understand fully how great God is. For by knowing the greatness of Krishna, one will be able to be fixed in sincere devotional service. So, understanding of Krishna's greatness cannot be neglected. Anyways, we should understand Krishna's sweetness, not greatness. I may say like that. First, greatness you understand. Even Bhagavatam also very systematically presents Krishna's greatness. How he creates this world, how he maintains this world, how he destroys this world, what is the structure of the universe. So many things are mentioned in the initial cantos. Then in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, after completing 9 cantos, where you become familiar with Krishna's greatness and incarnations and opulences and expansions and creation, the universe, time factor, then you come to 10th canto, where you experience Krishna's sweetness. Okay, so a background of Krishna's greatness is necessary. Okay. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.